Well, good morning to all of you, and God's blessings be upon you today. What a beautiful day it is and week it has been. And we're going to continue to speak today about hearing God. Today is for hearing God for guidance, and this is very likely the last one in our series that we have spoke about. Hearing God for guidance, isn't that basically what we most times come to God for? I need help, or I need a download from you to be able to know what to do, in other words. And that hearing God is really why we want to hear from God is for guidance, if I get my words out straight. One thing that I have highlighted, I guess, or one of the key things in this series has been that God does speak to us, not because of our greatness, but because of His greatness. And a little further on with that is God speaks to us not because of our perfectness, but because of His perfectness. And we don't have to become a certain level of Christian or a certain depth of Christianity in our walk with God for Him to speak to us. He's speaking, and He enjoys conversations with us. It's that a lot of times I don't hear it, or we're not sure that it's Him, or we wonder. And so as we go through life, and hopefully this has come out through the different message that I had, is that we cultivate and we keep doing it. We keep listening and hearing and then acting upon what our conversation was about with God, and then it becomes easier. At least it has been for me. God is the important one, and other believers in our hearing from God. We are not alone in this. That's one encouragement that I failed to say until now, is that we're not alone. We're not on an island, and it's just me, and I have to figure this all out by myself. We have each other. We have the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. We have each other. We have the Sunday school teachers. We have each other as brothers and sisters in Christ that we can have help in saying, well, what do you think? I feel like God is saying this. What do you think? And then acting up on it. When we were on our sabbatical, I kept a journal, and periodically I would write in it. Not every day. It wasn't like a diary that I keep every once in a while. And this year I again keep a diary of every day. But this a journal is more like you write down your thoughts and what you're feeling, and it's not every day. At least not for me. Maybe you're different and you do it every day. But I wanted to share a few of those things. It was interesting as I looked back. Just yesterday I went back in my journal and I found this, that I, on November 11th, which was toward the end of the sabbatical, I wrote this: it is far more important to teach about hearing, discerning the voice of the Father than to issue a script to follow expectation. When a follower of Jesus trusts the Father's voice, he, Jesus, will become the script. And then a desire that I had, that I had forgot about this. And I guess that's why journals are good. You can go back and you can see how God leads you. And on November 24th, I wrote this: how to lead people to be able to hear the voice of the living God. That was amazing to me. that was my heart. And then, like, 5 months later, I guess, 6 months later, I have this opportunity that came into my email to take a course online on hearing God, and how to teach that and so on. So God works in our lives even when we're not thinking about it or when we forget. God is orchestrating things to bring about the desires of our heart. The truth is that we want to hear God for direction, like in big decisions and little decisions. And some of us don't care so much about the little decisions, we just do them, and that's fine. And some of us do care about little decisions, I'm kind of in the middle, I guess, but I remembered something that us church men did years ago, and I think maybe Dave and Phil may be the only ones that remember this, maybe even Brandon or some of the older ones, when there was a work day for Brian Austin's. Do you remember that? We went up and helped him start framing his house. I don't know where it was. It was somewhere up there in Holmes County. And I remember specifically because we were, I'm not sure at what point, was the deck already on or not, the subfloor, but Brian was saying something that day about, I don't know where I wanted to put the stairway. And I prayed to God to tell me where to put the stairway, and I was like, I didn't get that at that time. I even asked him later, I don't know if it was the next day or as I met him later, I forget, but I said, to me, Brian, I said, God doesn't care where you put the stairs. I literally said that to Brian, and he said, oh, yes, he does. And he had a reason. I can't remember what it was, but that was a little decision to me that I thought wouldn't even be necessary to ask God. And I don't know, maybe you're the same way, but he is interested in us, and I think it's okay. I don't think there's anything bad about being that way like Brian had prayed. I don't think it is. To some of us, it's not important. Some of us is. We want to know what God thinks. What does he think about it? So either way, it's fine. If you have that kind of relationship with the Father, I think it's great. In a conversation, you ask him about little things. And I'm beginning to do that more. And I like it. Oswald Chambers says this, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. And that speaks into having a relationship, a conversational relationship. Sometimes people get paralyzed versus just doing what's in front of you, what you are doing. Just keep doing that. And it's this idea of having this conversational relationship with God that as you go, you just talk to him and he will direct you. And as we know, like a ship, a big boat, or even a little boat, just sitting in the water or in the harbor, it can't go very much. It can't change direction until it moves. And then you can direct it and change courses. Sometimes in our young Christian life, at least some of this I experienced, I would have wanted God to write with the clouds in the sky what I should do or where I should go, who I should get married to, what job I should have, and all of those things that we wrestle with as believers. What does God really want me to do? Because I want to be in his perfect will. That never happened to me as far as a cloud in the sky. And if it does, God bless you. That's a great thing. And sometimes in those moments when we just want somebody to tell us what to do, we almost like get to where we're paralyzed. I can't move. I want to know. An interesting fact is that when God gives direction, have you experienced this, and I think we all do, is that God never gives us the whole picture. As there's a few examples, or maybe even a lot of examples, but I have three here of some of the old patriarchs, the old people in the Old Testament. Think about Abraham when he told Abraham to go to a land that I will show you later. And Abraham went out not knowing. So he didn't give him the whole picture. And he gives Joseph those dreams, but never tells him the stuff that happens in between. It's kind of the way we are led, and we are given guidance by God directly or through brothers and sisters in Christ. Is that we get enough for today? And are we okay with that? Sometimes I am not okay with just knowing today. Excuse me. And he tells Paul, when Paul was on the road, or Saul at the time when he was on the road to Damascus, he says, go into Damascus and someone else will tell you more. But it's so hard for us humans to just be okay with that. And I believe as I am experiencing this journey in a conversation that I'm having with God day to day, it's becoming more normal to just be okay with not knowing the whole picture. And you see that Abraham, Joseph, and Paul, and there's others as well, and me, and Joe, and Dave, our journeys are similar, but not one of them is exactly the same. Not one of us in here, our journey is exactly the same. Some similarities. And it wasn't the same for Abraham and Joseph. There's always differences because it's a personal relationship with Christ. It's our conversations that we have with him that's so exciting. And we share them with each other. Our paths and our journeys are not the same. We are not clones. God doesn't want us to be clones, or he would have made us that way. If God was to hand you a complete picture of your life, would you, or would I really need him? I have a question. If at the age of accountability, which it varies, the age of accountability in the Bible suggests that it could be 13, and even in the Old Testament it has wording there that it could be 20 years old. The Mormons believe that the age of accountability is 8, and they do a lot of the baptizing them at that age. But let's say the age of accountability is between 13 and 20, let's say 15. If at that age, would you have wanted to be given a script of your life up to the age that you are right now? What I mean by script is that everything would have been in there at that age of 15 that would have tell you, would have just had the whole picture of your life up to where you are now. Some of you aren't 15 yet, but okay, you would have been told in a 101-page script which church you will attend, which college you will go, which person you will get married to, which job you will have or do, how many children you should have, which school you will send your children, if you should transition to another job, if you should build a new house or buy a fixer-upper, when you will take a vacation, if you should allow your son to buy the family business, when you should retire. You've been told the mountaintops, you would have been told the valleys you're going to go through, the high waters that you have to wade through, sicknesses, the battles, the depression, the oppression. With the complete picture in our minds and hands, we would know everything. Would we need God then? Not really. Would there be any intimacy and conversation with God from that point on? Kind of not really. You'd look at it and say, this is what's coming next. And there would be no need to trust in God, really. Maybe a little. But in Proverbs it says, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in Adonai, trust in God with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And it seems like it's so simple, and yet to walk that out is quite different. And I think of this verse sometimes when I'm working, I'm thinking, well, how do I do that? How do I acknowledge him? And basically I think it's just saying, God, where do I put the stairway? Where should I put? What should I do? and then he says he will make your path straight. The scripture gives us a promise there. I believe it is because he wants to have a conversation with us, a relationship, an intimacy with us, is why he didn't give us a script. And it's very likely why we shouldn't give each other a script in church life and in our fellowship as believers, because it would take away from any form of relationship and conversation. And our fellow believers can help us figure out which way God is guiding us. There's a fascinating story in 1 Samuel 9. I just love this story, and I'm going to go there and read part of it this morning. It's a story about a guy by the name of Kish. And he has a son by the name of Saul. And Kish, the father, had donkeys. And somehow they got out of the pen. They got lost. And so he sends his son Saul to look for the donkeys. And they went over the mountains, over the hills. And if you've been to Israel and in that area, it's it can be mountainous. It has sheer cliffs and so on. It's beautiful. But so Kish, I'm going to read a little bit, and so I don't like paraphrase it wrong or something. just love this story so much, and if I would read the whole thing, it'd be a couple chapters, but I want to get some of the highlights here, and I'm going to start in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 9. It says, "Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, 'Take now one of the servants with you and get up and look for the donkeys.' So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim, and he went through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of Benjamin, but still could not find them. When they arrived in the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant with him, 'Come, let's go back. Otherwise, my father will stop worrying about the donkeys and he'll start worrying about us,'" which is exactly what happened as you read the story later on. The reason I like this story and that's so fascinating is the different people that guided them through the process to find the donkeys. And that's the way it is with us. There's different people that come into our lives and they give guidance by what they say or how their life is, how they lead their lives even. Just be in there together with them. And then it's just amazing to me how God orchestrates people and friends, family, to guide us on our journey. God is the important one here. Don't ever forget that God is the important one, and we are not alone in finding guidance. So let's go to... So Saul was thinking, let's just go home. We can't find the donkeys. And his servant said, no, he said, behold, there's a man of God in this town, the town of Benjamin, I think is where they're at. And he said, he's a man held in honor. Everything he says is sure to come true. Now let's go there, he said. Perhaps he'll tell us which way we should go to find these donkeys. Basically what he said. And so they had a conversation there, Saul and his servant. I'm going to go down to verse 11. Well, in verse 10, then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let's go. In other words, he said, let's go find this seer, as they called it back in those days, which was a prophet. He said, let's go see him. So they went to the town where the man of God was. As they went up the hill to the town, they found some girls going out to draw water, and they asked them, is the prophet here? And you see, as they go out looking for these donkeys, there's people that are on the way that are helping them find him. Even some girls, I don't know what age or what they were about or whatever, but they said, yes, he is here. He's ahead of you. Hurry now, they said, for he has come today to this town because people have a sacrifice at the high place today. As soon as you enter the town, they said, you'll find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. It's interesting that they said, for he has come today to this town. See how it works out? And we worry and we fuss and we say, well, are you sure this will happen? Or we even ask God sometime, I'm not sure what you're saying. You know, in our minds, we think these things, if we're honest. How is this going to happen? How is this actually going to work out? And he has it all figured out. He has people that you meet, places that you go to, and it can be even people that aren't born again or aren't even believers that give you a word from God. I believe that. And so these girls were there, and they said, he just came today. Hurry up and go up there and see him. And verse 14, so they went up to the town, and as they were entering the town, behold, Samuel was coming out toward them. And here's the guy they want to meet. Trust in God, and he will bring the things about, and he will give you guidance. And it's interesting here, and I don't want to belabor this beautiful story, but... In verse 15, it says, that one day before Saul had come, Adonai, which is God, had revealed to Samuel, saying, tomorrow about this time, I'm going to send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you will anoint him to be ruler over my people Israel. So amazing. I want to go on to verse 20. And this is what Samuel had told Saul, that now they've met the prophet, they've met this seer, and... Because Samuel asked him, or Saul asked him, he said, are you the prophet? Are you the seer? And he says, I am the one. And he tells them in verse 20, at this point, at least in this account in Samuel, doesn't say that they even talked about the donkeys, but the seer, the, Samuel, the prophet, knew it because of what he said in 20. He said, I will tell you everything. This is the verse before. I will tell you everything that is in your heart. As for the donkeys that you lost 3 days ago, don't set your heart on them, for they have been found. And this stood out to me when it said, don't set your heart on them. And what I think that is saying to us today is that our circumstances around us, the things that we worry about so much, don't set your heart on them. They're already taken care of. But in our perspective, a lot of times they aren't, like sicknesses and traumatic things that happen to us. We're human, and it's just the way we respond sometimes. But take heart today. What God had told Saul through Samuel, don't set your heart on them, for they have been found. So now we're going to go on down to verse 35, and here's another person that becomes involved, because Samuel there was this eating thing that was going to happen. And verse 23, it says, Samuel said to the cook. Now the cook gets involved, a chef perhaps. And he is part of this plan that God brought together in giving guidance to Saul. Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion that I gave you and told you to set aside. So the cook took up the thigh, raised it, and set it before Saul. And then he said, here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept until this appointed time for you, since I said I have invited the people. It's so amazing how God orchestrates our lives and gives us guidance at the right moment. And it teaches us, as these things happen, we can take heart and begin to trust God more, because through those things that God orchestrates, we see that He takes care of us and our love deepens. And as our love deepens for Him, as we see Him leading us, our trust grows. It's not like flipping a switch and then you totally 100% trust Christ. It's in those experiences, those small little things that you see God leading you, and you say, and it makes you feel good. And you begin to trust more. And then you want more of that. And then you listen more and you learn and you go on. And as the story goes on, I'll just briefly tell you. Saul stayed with Samuel for a little bit, and he sent his servants on ahead. And in chapter 10, verse 9, when they had finished, Samuel anointed him. And when that was done, Samuel gave him some instructions. And in verse 9, it says, then it happened as Saul turned his back to leave Samuel. In other words, they were parting now. And that point, it says that God transformed Saul's heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they arrived there at the hill, behold, a band of prophets did meet him. And that's where I'm going to leave this story, except in verse 14, Saul's uncle comes into the picture, another person that God orchestrated in his life to bring guidance and a knowing that God is involved in my life, in my story. Do we have prophets today similar to this account in 1 Samuel 9? And there's, I know in Hebrews, that there's various scriptures, but if you just look at Hebrews and not look at others, it would seem like the prophets, we don't need them anymore. Because it says, Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 4, it says, at many times and in many ways God spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets. And then in verse 2 it says, in these last days He has spoken to us through a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He created the universe. And it almost seems like, okay, prophets are of no value, or we don't need them because we have Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that we don't need the prophets. He's just saying that Christ came and He has appointed heirs, an heir. This Son is the radiance of His glory and the imprint of His being, upholding all things by His powerful word. When He had made purification for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Thus He became as far above the angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than the prophets. But in Ephesians, we see it's more of a balance where we can draw from, because Paul in Ephesians, he says, He Himself gave some to be evangelists, some a prophet, some as proclaimers. apostles and prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news and some as shepherds and teachers to equip the saints. So I could read some more there. But verse 13 and said, this will continue until we all come in the unity of the faith. So we need these prophets still today. We need each other to help us figure out how God is guiding us. You are not alone. Take that as an encouragement today. We are not alone. We have each other to help us figure this out. In Acts, there's an account there of, it says in verse 32 of chapter 15, Judah and Silas, prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and sisters with a long message and strengthened them. And then in Paul, as he was talking about the different giftings in 1 Corinthians 14, he mentions that tongues are not profitable for the whole group as prophecy is. And it says, but one who prophesies speaks to people for building up, urging on, and uplifting. Prophets today, yes, but is never meant to take away from our personal hearing God, which is critically important, as is others' input. And a lot of times we feel like we are alone, so we have to figure this out alone. And so we make decisions alone without inquiring of others. And I have been guilty of that. But the value we can put on each other is important in hearing God for guidance. I think I'm at the end here. I've enjoyed this series, and there was another subject that I started while I was doing this doing some research on, and I almost just like, okay, when I start something, I get too excited, and I think, okay, the others is now, well, we're half done, maybe I'll just leave that, and I just felt, no, I can't do that. I want to be able to finish this series of hearing God and then go on to the next one. But thank you for listening, being patient, and God bless you as you go through life and you're the subject of hearing Him, hearing God in meditation, hearing God for others, hearing God in guidance, and hearing God in our conversations, detours, and silences. When God seems to just be quiet, stick with it. And have a trusted friend that you can say, you know, I just feel like God has abandoned me. That happens sometimes. You just don't feel close to God. And you go to the prophets, you go to the people you trust and say, what do you think this says? What do you think I'm feeling and why? And so on. You pray, whatever it may be. Ben, you want to close? God bless.